Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 54 to verse 57. Luke 12, verse 54 to 57. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said also to the people, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. The topic is entitled, "Discern This Time," taken from the last part of verse 56, uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that ye do not discern this time? The word discern there is a word that literally means to test metal, to find out whether this is fool's gold or real gold, to test the genuineness, the accuracy, the sincerity of that which you hold in your hands. And so it is a very important word. And this morning we are asked to discern this time, the time that we are living in. This chapter in Luke chapter 12 is a very long chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ started by explaining to them to be very careful of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then one by one, one piece at a time, he will relate and encourage them on how to live a holy life, how they need to examine themselves, because there will come a day of judgment. In verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, that is about 9 to 12 midnight, or come in the third watch, that's 12 midnight to 3 a.m., and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." There is a day of judgment, a day where we all will have to stand before God and give an account on how we live this life. And so with this in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the conclusion of his long message, told those who listened to him, those who were present, the people, including his disciples, "When ye see a cloud rise out of the west," from Israel's perspective, it would be the Mediterranean Sea. They look at the sky. The moment clouds begin to form, they all knew that it will rain. Shower is coming. It's very obvious. It's very visible. And so if you are a farmer and you depend upon these rains for your crops to survive, you thank God for the shower. If you are a mother with your laundry outside, rain is coming, we better collect the laundry. So each and everyone would take the necessary step to do what is needful when they see rain come. And then when they look down south, there is the wilderness of Zin. Further down south will be the wilderness of Paran. And then to the southeast, it would be the Midianite, where you have the Arabian desert. And so when the wind blows from the south, they all would know for a fact that heat is coming, dry heat. And as expected, as they have discerned, it comes to pass. And so when the natural calamities or natural elements, from the sky, we see clouds. From the land, we feel the heat of the wind from the south. And it is devastating. It will destroy. And they will take all the steps necessary to make sure that the destruction is minimized. We know how to interpret these signs. It is all around us, physically speaking. And we take all the steps necessary to ensure that we avoid the disaster in our own lives. The COE is going up, expensive to buy cars. We postpone buying cars. H1N1 virus, a second wave might be coming. Obama, the president of America, has already called for doctors to be on the alert, hospitals to be on alert, because there is a second wave. More than 1,000 people have died because of H1N1. And so now they're taking all the steps necessary to minimize the deaths, immunization, and all sorts of steps necessary. We know how to take all these steps to protect this physical body, our physical belongings. And so Jesus argued very simply and logically in verse 56, ye can discern, that is, determine, scrutinize, examine the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Why do you not want to understand this time? What time was he referring to? Your life and my life, eternity in heaven or in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ was in their midst. God with us was literal for them. They had seen his miracle. Many of them had experienced his miracle. They have heard his teaching. They have seen his life. And they had known that by his message and by his miracles, he has to be God. And this is the times that we are living in. In his days, it was the first coming of Christ. In our time, it's no more the first coming of Christ, but his return. And the Lord Jesus Christ had also given to us signs so that we may discern this time, not with reference to the first coming, but also to the second coming, which he had mentioned earlier. Remember verse 37, 38, 39, and 40, which we read earlier? That's a reference to the second coming. And by the time he was crucified and resurrected and glorified, Christ had given us more signs that will help us understand the nearness of Christ's returns. This church, by the grace and mercies of God, will try its utmost to remember the Reformation. As you can see by the panels out there, this time around it is to remember the contribution of John Calvin. He was a young boy when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church gate in Wittenberg. In the year 1517, 31st October. Why do we want to remember this date? Many churches have conveniently forgotten this date. And sadly, some BP churches had also conveniently ignored this date. And even when they remember it more like a matter of tradition than a matter of reformation. Why do we need to remember what happened nearly 500 years ago when Martin Luther did what he did in 1517. It was a period of 1,000 years of dark ages where the Word of God was covered up, it was suffocated by the mighty Roman Catholic Church. And this man, who was an ex-monk, had the courage, the strength, used by God to light the flames of the Reformation, that we today may have the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we today may have the Bible. This little booklet that has been given to you, please use as many as you can use. Pass it on to your friends. This is a compilation of 3 years of the exhibits that we had held for about a month since the year 2007, I believe. 3 years of the panels are inside here. For your blessing, for your reminder, and for you to do your part to warn your loved ones and friends that the Reformation is not over, because the battle for the faith continues on. And that's why it is called earnestly contend for the faith. There is not a battle that is made up by men. It is a real battle because as long as Satan is alive, as long as demons are around, as long as there are sinners in need of the Savior, God continues to require us to fulfill the Great Commission and to fight the good fight of faith. Because if we do not, we fail the Lord. We miss the point of what God has saved us to do. We have been saved for service, to serve our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no more to serve ourselves, no more to serve our own tiny, puny little ambitions. Because we would be facing God one day. And how dare we stand before Him, having been receiving so much from Him all these years on this earth, His patience, His long-suffering, His grace and His mercies, and then we do not do our part. We pretend that this is a playground instead of a battleground. The suddenness of the Lord Jesus Christ returns involve one incident called the rapture. The rapture is different from the second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord, whereby the Lord Jesus Christ will return from heaven with his saints onto the earth. The rapture would be an event where the Lord Jesus Christ will meet us in the air, where those who have died in Christ will be resurrected first, and then those who are alive on that day when it appears, when it happens, we will be caught up. That's the Latin word for rapture. And then we will all together meet Christ in the air. It will be a glorification of the saints where we will travel from earth up to heaven. The return of Christ will be, we will come down from heaven onto the earth with Christ. Do not confuse the two events. And Christ had given to us certain signs. And we pray that you and I will be able to discern these signs, this time that we are living in. And these are the signs that will have to come to pass before the rapture. And what are some of these signs? These are the events that the Lord Jesus Christ had given to us with the Bible reference. The gospel will be preached in all the world. Please note, the gospel will be preached, not that the world will be converted. False Christs and false prophets showing great signs and wonders will arise. They will come. A falling away, that is apostasy. That's the Greek word used there. There will be a one world church with a one world government. Because as you know, a government cannot come into formation where he will rule the whole world without controlling the military, the economy, and all the religions of the world. And then lastly, days of Noah. Have these five signs, events, have they taken place in our lifetime? When Christ gave us these words, it was 2,000 years ago. Without the modern modes of communication, it is not possible for the gospel to be preached throughout the whole world. But today, it has already occurred. In 2000 AD, the clarion call of the ecumenical movement was to present to the Lord Jesus Christ a birthday cake. That was 9 years ago. Through the radio waves, through the internet, through modern technology, this has already been fulfilled. It is not that the world will be saved, but that the world will be given the gospel. Please note that. This sign has been fulfilled. Sign number two. False Christs, false prophets. Are they not around us today? Have you not experienced it? Some of us might have even participated in some of their meetings. The Bible calls them great signs and wonders. The word great, by the way, is the Greek word mega. mega churches. Please note this quote. Signs and wonders was a phrase used often by leaders of the charismatic movement in the late 1980s and early 1990s. It is not a name given to them by us. It is what they call themselves, the Signs and Wonders Movement. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:24 had warned us that they will come, false Christs. They will pretend to be Christians. They will use the name of Jesus Christ. They will call themselves prophets, and that's exactly what they are doing today. They have restored the offices of apostles and prophets, and they hardly use a scripture when they preach. They will simply say, last night God spoke to me. This morning the Lord revealed to me. This is a very common phrase in charismatic churches. This is the times that we are living in. False Christs and false prophets showing great signs and wonders. Please do not regard Satan as a foolish weakling. He is cunning, he is powerful, and he is very, very deceptive. The history of the charismatic movement is divided into three main headings. They first came into being, they called themselves the Pentecostal movement. In 1906, they were rejected by the fundamentalists in the 1910s and 1920s. But they continued to grow and they became so large that they said, why don't we call ourselves the Pentecostal movement? Since the fundamentalists rejected us, we will form our own. And one of their churches that are most prominent belonging to the Pentecostal movement is none other than the Assemblies of God. And after the Second World War, with the invention of television, and also pastors from other denominations, from the Episcopalian Church, from the Lutheran Church, from the Baptist Church, and the Presbyterian churches, their pastors started speaking in tongues. And they did not join the Pentecostal movement. Initially, they were called Neo-Pentecostals because they speak in tongues. But these pastors and their members rejected the name because we are not Pentecostalists. I am a Baptist, I speak in tongues. I am a Lutheran, I speak in tongues. I'm a Presbyterian, I speak in tongues. And since this gift is a grace gift, and the Greek word for grace is the word charis. And so they said, why don't we call ourselves the charismatic movement? And so since the Second World War, they called themselves the charismatics. And that's how the charismatic movement was born. And through the invention of television, they brought the charismatic movement into the homes of every American. And that's how it spread like wildfire. And with their missionaries, they spread across the length and breadth of our world. But in the 1980s, these televangelists became very, very corrupt. Some of them were arrested and they were put into jail. And by that time, charismatism had evolved to the point where it became from bad to worse. They have more and more excesses, starting with speaking in tongues in 1906, to visions and dreams, to miracles, to all kinds of experiences such as holy barking, holy rolling, slaying of the spirit, and many, many of these phenomena where they just simply attach the word holy to it, thinking that people would just simply accept it and drink it in just because a pastor attached the word holy to it. They even have holy pogo sticking. You know what's pogo stick? Where a man just hop onto a stick and he jumps vertically up and down. And so you have people jumping up and down, and so they call it holy pogo sticking. And so you have people in the congregation singing, dancing, holy pogo sticking, holy barking, holy meowing, holy clucking, holy everything. And then they call themselves the third wave. These are all terms used by them. And so the first Pentecostal movement, they call it the first wave, the charismatic movement, the second wave, and now it is the third wave and there is no fourth wave. What we see today in all these great churches, mega churches, great signs and wonders, They are nothing but a fulfillment of what Jesus Christ had prophesied in Matthew 24:24, 2,000 years ago, that he will come. And Satan is a powerful devil. If these miracles, in inverted commas, that they claim are not hoaxes, are not devices that they manipulated using gadgets to deceive the congregation, and if they are real, they cannot be from God. How do we know that? Evaluate their doctrines. Check their practices against the Word of God. That's what the Bible has taught us. And you find that if their teachings, their associations are not godly, are not according to the Scriptures, they cannot be of God. They have to come from the devil himself. Do not be deceived. Satan is an angel of light, and he will come, and he will deceive us. Please note 2 Corinthians 11:14. This text, Matthew 7:21-23. Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." How do you find the will of the Father? The Word of God, isn't it? So to know someone who is truly born again, to evaluate a church whether it is truly of God, use the Bible. No other way. Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of judgment. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Prophets are in our midst today, found only in the charismatic churches. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? Do they not have demons casting today? Did they not also use the name of Jesus Christ? And in thy name done many wonderful works? The wonderful works that refers to miracles. And then will I profess unto them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work. The word work there is the word labor. Hard work, very diligent, very, very fervent, very zealous. But all your works are called iniquity. These are the claims of the charismatics today. Many, not few. And they are fulfilled before our very eyes. Will we not see? Another sign. The falling away. The word for falling away is apostasy. 50, 60 years ago, when someone tells you that one day a Presbyterian and a Baptist will worship together, the Roman you will say that that is impossible. That is not likely. Because of our doctrinal differences. But with the charismatic movement, they are speaking in tongues, which is nothing but a gibberish. Nobody knows what he's talking about. Common sense will tell us that how can a grown person utter nonsense that has no syntax, that has no grammar, be called speaking to God? But there are millions all over the world who would believe this delusion. You evaluate it against the Bible. Every time the Word of God, tongue, is used in the Bible, it always, without exception, refers to languages. And yet, these people will use the Bible, manipulate it, pass it off as if it is true, and there are millions of people who have embraced it, grown men, deceived by it. That is why it is called a falling away, an apostasy. Denominational lines have been erased. Not only that, joining back to the Roman church has already not only begun, it is now part and parcel of the face of Christendom today. So much so that Christians and Catholics are used interchangeably. Catholics call themselves Christians, so now when you fill up your form, religion, what do you put? You put Christian. It could be Catholic, it could be Christian. And so now you have to be very specific. You put that Christian, and then you put bracket, Protestant, not good enough because there are charismatics. Then you put down there, Protestant hyphen. Bible Presbyterian, Presbyterian not good enough. And then Bible Presbyterian, hyphen again, the good kind, close bracket. Because now they are bad ones. That's how complicated we are. Because this falling away has also affected the BP movement. No exception. Satan respects no movement. He doesn't care. There is no denomination. There is no church that he will not infiltrate. Falling away can happen to us just as it happened to other churches. If we are not on guard, if we do not remind our people the price that the saints of old had paid for the battle of the faith, for the battle of the Word of God, we would have no faith today. They paid for it with their lives' blood. We need to do our part in our time. That's why we remember the 16th century Reformation. Because the war is not over. It will be over when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in power and in glory. The battle, in fact, has heated up. It has not declined. It has not decreased. It has not diminished. It has heated up because Satan knows that his days are numbered. He has been very, very busy redoubling his effort. And so the falling away has started. The World Council of Churches, founded in 1948. Members include, these are taken from the internet, from their website. I did not make this up. This is only a short list. The whole list is about 17 pages long. Anglicans, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, some Baptists, because Baptists by nature, they are independent. And so some are inside, some are not. So you've got to be very, very careful what Baptist church you are in. Some evangelical free churches as well, they are also quite independent. Uniting Church in Australia, National Council Churches of Singapore, and this National Council Churches of Singapore, you'll find in the membership, the leader is, sadly, the Singapore Methodist Church, as well as the Anglican Church. They are all in there. Billy Graham Crusade, Campus Crusade for Christ, the Navigators, Youth for Christ. Youth with a Mission is charismatic. You have the Roman Catholic Church. And then you have these also as members. African Traditional Religions, Baha'i Faith, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam. Now, these are all cut and paste. Okay? I just minus a bit more because I don't have space. Judaism, Shintoism, Taoism. These are all from their website. They are not ashamed to let the world know. These are our members. That's why they are called WCC, not WCCC. WCCC would be World Christian. No world. It's World Council of Churches, not World Christian Council or World Council of Christian Churches. Any group can be called a church. A church simply means a gathering of people. This is deliberate. That's why they can involve all these inside. The name is significant. World Council of Churches. They are full-fledged members. Is this not fulfilled? The falling away before our very eyes? Churches, sound, conservative, biblical, where you can trust teachers in the Sunday school to bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord where they can hear the gospel are very, very rare. Very few. Today, many of these Protestant churches will have Sunday school teachers telling them it's okay to be a Roman Catholic. And they are Protestant churches. Because in the year 1994 and the year 1997, 20 so-called evangelical Christians led by Chuck Colson, and on that list you have people like J.I. Packer and 20 Roman Catholic theologians, they co-authored and co-signed a paper which states that evangelicals and Roman Catholics are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one and the same. despite the fact that in their paper they did admit that we disagree on these doctrinal issues. The Roman Catholics still worship Mary. They still pray to Mary. They still believe in transubstantiation, which is our understanding of the Lord's Supper, where they transform the bread into the actual flesh of Christ and the grape juice to the actual blood of Christ. That after these elements, those that left behind, let's say, what do you do with the bread and the cup that are left over? They will put there somewhere where the people will pray to it. Because after they say the ritual, this has been transformed to the actual physical body of Christ. Now, how can we believe something like this? How can someone who believes something like this pray to Mary, where Jesus made it clear that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, where they believe her as the co-mediatrix, and they call them brothers and sisters in Christ? But because these are big names, this is the trend, this is the ecumenical mindset. The Archbishop of Canterbury, taken from The Age, a Melbourne newspaper in the year 1999, Dr. George Carey, the Archbishop of Canterbury, a leader of 70 million Anglicans, say, "We cannot know whether Jesus rose from the dead. If you do not believe in the resurrection," 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Christians are of all men most miserable. If we have hope only in this life and no hope in the life everlasting." Leader of 70 million, this is the falling away that the Lord Jesus Christ says will come before my return. One World Church is now a reality. It is here before our very eyes. You will have a very, very small number who will not be part of it. There are some churches who are not part of it, but they are in it through the back door. Do you know what it means by the back door? There are some BP churches, sadly, are also in the World Council of Churches by the back door. In what way? Because they support the Navigators. They support Campus Crusade for Christ. They support the Youth for Christ. They encourage their members to join up in the Navigators. And Navigators are part of the World Council of Churches. You send your young people, you give funds. You help them send their time and their service and money, resources, to build up the One World Church of Satan through the back door. The World Council of Churches will be part and parcel of the bricks that Satan will use to bring about his one world government. Revelation 13:8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, all without exception. Him is the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." It is here. It is happening. Will we discern this time? Will you? Finally, lastly, the fifth sign, days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? Genesis 6:5. "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Is this not what we see in our world? We use euphemistic words to dress up sin to make it less heinous. Alternate lifestyle is the new name for homosexuality. It will be found in books all over the world, teaching our children the structure of a family in a home is no more restricted, limited to only a father and a mother, a male and a female, and children. Now you have two males, you have two mothers, and this will become some of the alternates that you can choose to have as a family. It is already found in some schools in some countries, primary school level. It is being done even in our schools, isn't it? Remember the AWARE saga? How it had struck such an important chord in our hearts, in our lives, because of our children. They are involved. It is here, the days of Noah. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Corruption, immorality, fornication, homosexuality, adultery, violence, the list goes on. Is it not around us? Our children are facing a world that is so dark, so immoral, so wicked, that the only safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord has laid upon our hearts as pastors to have this quarter of the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship. Save our children, a call to parents with young children, and also to children who are teenagers, who are old enough to come and to understand that the only Savior is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in a world that is immoral and full of sin and darkness. As the ark was the only safety when the flood came in Noah's time to destroy Noah's world. When God sent fire to destroy this world, the only safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, 37 to 39, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Do you know what these phrases mean? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage? They don't care. They just go on about their normal day-to-day life. That is the worst, isn't it? No reaction. Total, complete coldness of heart. None whatsoever. They just simply say, oh yeah, they're not interested in the signs. No matter how clear the signs were, they just don't care. That was in Noah's time. Is it in our time? Will we discern this time and do something about our lives? Or will we just be literally like the rest of the world, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage? It's all we care about. How we eat, how we drink, where we eat, where we drink. Let's plan for marriage. Let's plan for families. Still think of our future as if our future will go on and on and on and on forever. Not realizing the signs are before us. And we still will not see. What do you think is needed? God gave us prophecies. Comes from our Heavenly Father. We have a caring, loving Heavenly Father who cares for His children, God's people. We are in the light. Let us not live in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Are these words enough to touch your hearts? The word of everlasting life, that we have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. From a world that is full of sin and wickedness, and this world of ours is getting to a point where God must do something to burn up all these refuse. It has to come. It cannot go on the way it is. The Lord must intervene because it is so hard to live in this sin-sick world of ours. When the IR opens, the kind of problems and sin and immorality that you and I read of in other countries, in Hong Kong, in Macau, in Australia, in countries like Las Vegas in America, will now no more be stories that we read, but stories that we will feel and experience, because it will come from our friends, family members, and loved ones. They will be ensnared by the vices that these casinos will inevitably bring. You cannot run away from it. You cannot have all this filth without awe the money, the glamour, because Satan will dress it up so that the filthy things will taste so sweet. And our people will be deceived. Will we listen to our Heavenly Father? He gave us all these signs. Come out from among them. Will you? That is what the Lord wants us to do. Come out from among them. Be ye not unequally yoked. If you belong to a church that promotes the end time ecumenical movement. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, that's an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Discern this time. Jesus warns his generation, and he warns us today. Will you see the times? We see the times of the skies, the times of the earth. We see the signs all around us for this physical well-being, for personal gain and profit. But will we not see the spiritual signs where the gain and the profit will last for eternity until the Lord Jesus Christ returns? Let us pray that the Lord will wake us up out of our slumber, that we may do something about this life that we have been living so selfishly for ourselves, where we have not prayed as we ought, where we have not done enough for the spiritual well-being, even of our own children. We are so much concerned for the physical well-being to the point whereby we neglect the spiritual well-being. We plan all kinds of holidays so that they will be mentally recharged to begin a new year of school. But what about the spiritual well-being? Can we afford to neglect that as sons and daughters of the Most High God? Because they will not find any safety in the ways and the manners and the offerings of the world against the wiles of Satan. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word, the written word, where Christ is the living word. May this day truly be a day where we will discern this time. Jesus says, yea, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Verse 57, the conclusion, is the question that the Lord Jesus Christ is asking each and every one of us. Why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to discern this time, the times where we are living in, O Lord, are full of immorality, wickedness, and sin, where man continues to devise evil continually, as it was in the days of Noah. We thank thee, Father, for the signs that the Lord has revealed to us prior to the rapture, the first resurrection. Help us, therefore, O Lord, as thy blood-bought children, to be awakened out of our stupor, our slumber, that we may truly take stock of the perilous times that we are living in, that each and every one of us may re-examine our own lives and our own actions and how we must live for our Savior in these last days. Instead of eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, O Lord, may thou be merciful to preserve thy church for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.